Today, Bible reading is from Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, the parable of 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamp and did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took an oil of jar along with them. The bridegroom were long time not coming, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. At the midnight, the cry ran out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." All the virgins were awake and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, It may be not enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. The virgins already went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came and said, Sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour." Amen.
Sent by Jesus to keep watch. I have an echo. All right, there we go. We're in the series Sent by Jesus, and we will continue also more into the summer a couple of more times, continuing this subject. But this is the 10th sermon in the series, and thank you, Gladys, for reading Matthew 25. But if you want to understand what's going on here, it's always wise to read the passage in context. And the context is the Mount of Olives. And here there's a view from the Temple Mount to the Mount of Olives. And you see right in the far, the Russian Orthodox Church, the Church of the Ascension, where Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. And what was the, if you look at chapter 24, Jesus left the temple, we read in the first verse, was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. And then Jesus says, "Yes, but these buildings will all be destroyed." And while he was continuing to walk to the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked, "Lord, all right, when is this going to happen? When will all these buildings be destroyed? And when will be the day of your coming? And what will be the signs?" And then finally they arrived there on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus began to teach. And if you're on top of the Mount of Olives, this is then the view. Depends which way you look. You see now in the middle the golden, the rock of the dome, the golden, it's not really a mosque. It's covering the rock on which they say, the Muslims say, that Abraham almost sacrificed Ishmael. But Jews and Christians from the Bible say it was almost Isaac. That's the rock on which the temple was built, the first temple and the second temple, and the Holy of Holies was on top of that building. And now Muslim area. And you see in the front all these graves. These are graves of Orthodox Jews who loved to be buried there on the hillside of the Mount of Olives. Because in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, it is written that one day the Lord will return and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. So the Mount of Olives is a very special place, a very significant place. If you turn on the Mount of Olives a bit to the right, you will see the Gethsemane and the churches, the two churches there. The one with the golden top, that's the church of Mary Magdalene. And there is another church down more towards the old city. That's all there on the Mount of Olives. It's a very significant place in Scripture. And that is the place where Jesus starts to teach. And he starts to teach in chapter 24. And I'll just briefly mention a few very important verses. Because the disciples were asking, all right, what are the signs of your coming? And when will the kingdom come? And when will this all happen and all these buildings be destroyed? And the first thing Jesus says there in verse 4 is, watch out that no one deceives you. So the first warning is a warning against deception. The second one is, you will hear of wars in verse 6. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Verse 9, you will be persecuted. Verse 10, many will turn away from the faith. Then in verse 11, many false prophets will appear. And I can't read it. Yes. I'm one behind, aren't I? There we go. Many false prophets will appear. And in verse 23, 24, 5, 7, and 6, it is repeated that many false prophets will come. So watch out that you will not be deceived. Verse 12, the love of most will grow cold. Verse 14, the gospel will be preached to all nations. And verse 15, the abomination standing in the holy place. Well, that's a bit difficult verse, but if you look into church history and know what the Romans did when they captured Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, they put something terrible in the Holy of Holies, and that continued to happen also after 120, when there was again a revolt, and they wanted to wipe out the dream of the Jews and of the Christians that the Messiah one day would come back and initiate his kingdom. So what did the Romans say? They should stop talking about Israel. And it was the Roman emperor in 120 AD who commanded that the name of Israel was not allowed to exist anymore. And instead, he said it should be called Palestine. So from 120 AD onwards, it's not Israel, but it's Palestine, as a punishment to wipe out and a way of trying to crush the dream that one day Israel will there be the center of peace in this world. The abomination. And in this passage in Matthew 24, there are two parables, and Jesus is teaching to keep watch. In verse 42 to 44, he warns of the unexpectedness of the Messiah's coming. So first he says, all right, these are all the signs that that you will notice. Watch out for the false prophets. There will be war, there will be famine, you will be persecuted, but also the gospel will be preached to all nations. So the positive and the negative things will happen. And then he warns, he said, all right, Messiah will come very unexpectedly. Be awake, don't be drowsy and sleepy. And secondly, in the verses 45 to 51, in chapter 24, he shows that more than passive watchfulness is required. He says, be faithful and wise. Be faithful and wise. Don't just wait and think, well, it will happen, I will notice. No, he demands special attention. Be faithful in the responsibilities that you carry and the job that you're called to do, and be wise. And then the parable of the 10 virgins is told about the wise and the foolish virgins. Let's have a quick look there again at Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. The first one says, be prepared to meet the bridegroom. In these days, a wedding was there were several things that needed to happen in the bride's home, the home of her parents. So the bridegroom would go to the bride's home, and several ceremonies, and then it was still then at midnight or later, the bridegroom together with the bride would go to the bridegroom's house, and there start the celebrations. And as is custom in the Middle East, wedding celebrations would last at least a week. And but this was the start of the wedding celebrations. And these 10 virgins, maybe there were bridesmaids, we don't know, but these 10 were waiting to meet the bridegroom together with the bride from the bride's house towards the bridegroom's house. And we read in the verses 2 to 4. Can somebody help me, please? It doesn't do what I want. Thank you very much. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, the wise did not only have their lamps, but had extra oil. They're called wise, those who carried the extra oil in jars along with their lamps. Nothing else is said at this moment about why is this wise and why is this foolish. And then we read in verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Now that is a crucial sentence here. They didn't expect him to be away so long. It was so long that they became drowsy and fell asleep, all of them. Not only the foolish ones, but also the wise virgins fell asleep. And then suddenly, at midnight, in verse 6, come out and meet the bridegroom. And they all wake up and prepare the lamps. But then obviously the foolish ones were not able to prepare the lamps because there was no oil left anymore. They didn't anticipate that they had to wait so long. It was at midnight. Midnight in the scripture is a very important moment. If we think of the Exodus in chapter 12, it was at midnight that the Lord called the people of Israel out of Egypt. And it was a night of waiting. And it was the Lord's night of salvation. That's what we read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 42. In Matthew 26, it is at midnight that Jesus is there in Gethsemane and telling his disciples to wait and to pray and to be awake. And one of the reasons why he's saying this is because it's midnight, and midnight is the time, in the darkest time in life, there will be salvation. And be awake, anticipate the salvation, expect the salvation, be ready, be alert. And then at the end of the passage, we read in verse 13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So the parable of the 10 virgins is to teach us to be alert, to keep watch, because we do not know the hour or the day, and it can take a very, very long time. Now, obviously, there are all sorts of explanations about the oil and who are the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and what does it mean when the door is locked and he doesn't know them. But you can do all sorts of explanations. But the most important thing is that Jesus begins the parable with, the kingdom of God is like, and then he tells a story, and he ends the story with the teaching. So remember the teaching. It's all about the teaching. It's a story with a teaching. And don't go into the story and try and find all sorts of details that are not relevant to the heart of Jesus' teaching. And the heart of Jesus' teaching is, keep watch. You don't know the day or hour. Keep watch. So how do we keep watch in the 21st century? Now, in preparing for this morning's message, I've been studying the Bible on passages on the Lord's coming, Lord's return, and the call to keep watch. I was struck by the many passages in the Gospels and in the letters of Paul and Peter and John and Jude on keeping watch. And I've selected two for this morning. The first one is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. It's a very famous passage, and it starts with, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. That's verse 25. That's where it all starts. Now, many of us say, well, I don't really worry. Well, it's not only just worrying, being afraid, am I going to happen this? Is that going to happen? Will I have enough bread? Will I have enough clothing? But it's being focused on, it's caring for. Jesus is saying, don't care too much about your life here on earth. Later on, he says, look, try to see, all right, which clothes should I buy? What shall I eat tomorrow? What shall I drink? Or may I extend the examples? Where shall we go with our for our vacation? Should I buy an update for my telephone? Which job? Caring for your health. If we are so focused on our physical health, we are not different from the unbelievers. They are focused on their health all the time. It's massive, all the hospitals and the medical resources to help us. And here in church we think, yes, but we have Jesus as well, and he sometimes heals. He does indeed. But to be so focused on our physical health does not make us any different from the unbelievers. And Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And then he continues there and ends in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And the call this morning is, get your life in balance. Get your life in balance. We are all like the unbelievers. We are called consumers. All of us are called consumers. And they love to call us consumers so that we can buy and spend and go to the hospital. And oh, wow. We consume. But Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Of course you may pray for each other, for those who are struggling in life. But it needs to be in balance, and the only balance you will get is if you first seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. If he's number one, How much time do you spend with God? Is it just on Sundays? How much time do you spend in singing songs of Him, songs of praise, reading your Bible? And if you think, oh, I can't discipline myself, well, there is a lot of these apps that will just speak the Word of God to you. There are a lot of means, modern means, to help us to listen to the Word of God, to study the Word of God. These small groups that Sarah and the group are initiating, great. Make sure that you're part of one of the small groups. Don't worry about your life. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, the other passage I selected is 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read that passage to you, and that will be in closing. Not going to say too much about it, but what I'm going to ask you is to listen carefully. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And please remember that word in this passage that is the Lord's word for you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water, and by water also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. The two things: look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And if you never listen to the words of the Bible, if you hardly spend time in reading or studying the Bible, of course you will not look forward to the day. Because we need the word to encourage us again and again. Oh yes, that's true. To get our lives in balance. And the last verse, I think this is really great. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what God is inviting us to do. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes. Do you long for the day of the Lord to come?
Yes.
Yes. Be thou my vision. Noldy, will you lead us in singing this beautiful hymn, please?
While Pastor Gilbert was preaching, I was in my mind thinking, oh, I should have chosen that one, that song, and that song. But when I see this one, if we want, exactly, exactly. And the next.